Chapter 4. Through on the previous day, and amidst the green lights and shades of the meadows, he could discern the red brick chapel whose recalcitrant inmate had so engrossed him. Before his attention had long strayed over the incident which romanticized that utilitarian structure, he became aware that he was not the only person who was looking from the terrace towards that point of the compass. At the right-hand corner, in a niche of the curtain wall, reclined a girlish shape, and asleep on the bench over which she leaned, was a white cat, the identical Persian as it seemed that had been taken into the carriage at the chapel door. Somerset began to muse on the probability, or otherwise, of the backsliding Baptist, and this young lady resulting in one and the same person. And almost without knowing it, he found himself deeply hoping for such a unity. The object of his inspection was idly leaning, and this somewhat disguised her figure. It might have been tall or short, curvilinear or angular. She carried a light sunshade which she fitfully twirled until, thrusting it back over her shoulder, her head was revealed sufficiently to show that she wore no hat or bonnet. This token of her being an inmate of the castle, and not a visitor, rather damped his expectations. But he persisted in believing her look towards the chapel must have a meaning in it, till she suddenly stood erect, and revealed herself as short in stature, almost dumpy, at the same time giving him a distinct view of her profile. She was not at all like the heroine of the chapel. He saw the dinted nose of the Distances outlined with Holbein shadowlessness against the blue-green of the distant wood. It was not the Distancy face with all its original specialities. It was, so to speak, a defective reprint of that face. For the nose tried hard to turn up, and deal utter confusion to the family shape. As for the rest of the countenance, Somerset was obliged to own that it was not beautiful. Nature had done there many things that she ought not to have done, and left undone much that she should have executed. It would have been decidedly plain, but for a precious quality which no perfection of chiseling can give when the temperament denies it, and which no facial irregularity can take away, a tender affectionateness which might almost be called yearning, such as is often seen in the women of Correggio when they are painted in profile. But the plain features of Miss Distancy, who she undoubtedly was, were rather severely handled by Somerset's judgment owing to his impression of the previous night. A beauty of a sort would have been lent by the flexuous contours of the mobile parts, but for that unfortunate condition the poor girl was burdened with, of having to hand on a traditional feature with which she did not find herself otherwise in harmony. She glanced at him for a moment, and showed by an imperceptible movement that he had made his presence felt. Not to embarrass her, Somerset hastened to withdraw, at the same time that she passed round to the other part of the terrace, followed by the cat, in whom Somerset could imagine a certain denominational cast of countenance, notwithstanding her company. But as white cats are much alike each other at a distance, it was reasonable to suppose this creature was not the same one as that possessed by the beauty. IV. He descended the stone stairs to a lower story of the castle, in which was a crypt-like hall covered by vaulting of exceptional and massive ingenuity. Built ere the art was known, by pointed aisle and shafted stalk the arcades of an alleyed walk to emulate in stone. It happened that the central pillar whereon the vaults rested, reputed to exhibit some of the most hideous grotesques in England upon its capital, was within a locked door. Somerset was tempted to ask a servant for permission to open it, till he heard that the inner room was temporarily used for plate, the key being kept by Miss Distancy, at which he said no more. But afterwards the active housemaid redescended the stone steps. She entered the crypt with a bunch of keys in one hand, and in the other a candle, followed by the young lady whom Somerset had seen on the terrace. "I shall be very glad to unlock anything you may want to see. So few people take any real interest in what is here, that we do not leave it open." Somerset expressed his thanks. Mr. Stancy, a little to his surprise, had a touch of rusticity in her manner, and that forced absence of reserve which seclusion from society lends to young women more frequently than not. She seemed glad to have something to do. The arrival of Somerset was plainly an event sufficient to set some little mark upon her day. Deception had been written on the faces of those frowning walls in there implying the insignificance of Somerset, when he found them tenanted only by this little woman whose life was narrower than his own. "We have not been here long," apostrophe continued Mr. Stancy, "and that's why everything is in such a dilapidated and confused condition." Apostrophe, apostrophe, Somerset entered the dark store closet, thinking less of the ancient pillar revealed by the light of the candle, than what a singular remark the latter was to come from a member of the family which appeared to have been there 5 centuries. He held the candle above his head, and walked round, and presently Mr. Stancy came back. "There is another vault below," apostrophe she said, with the severe face of a young woman who speaks, only because it is absolutely necessary. "Perhaps you are not aware of it? It was the dungeon. If you wish to go down there too, the servant will show you the way. It is not at all ornamental. Rough, unhewn arches and clumsy piers." Apostrophe, apostrophe, Somerset thanked her, and would perhaps take advantage of her kind offer, when he had examined the spot where he was, if it were not causing inconvenience. "No, I am sure Paula will be glad to know that anybody thinks it interesting to go down there, which is more than she does herself." Apostrophe, apostrophe, some obvious inquiries were suggested by this, but Somerset said, "I have seen the pictures, and have been much struck by them, partly," apostrophe he added, with some hesitation, "because one or two of them reminded me of a schoolfellow, I think his name was John Ravensbury." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "yes," apostrophe she said, almost eagerly. "He was my cousin." Apostrophe, "so that we are not quite strangers?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "but he is dead now. Dot dot dot, he was unfortunate. He was mostly spoken of as an unlucky boy. Dot dot dot, you know, I suppose, Mr. Somerset, why the paintings are in such a decaying state. It is owing to the peculiar treatment of the castle during Mr. Wilkins' time. He was blind, so one can imagine he did not appreciate such things as there are here." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "the castle has been shut up, you mean?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "oh yes, for many years. But it will not be so again. We are going to have the pictures cleaned, and the frames mended, and the old pieces of furniture put in their proper places. It will be very nice then. Did you see those in the east closet?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "I have only seen those in the gallery." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "I will just show you the way to the others, if you would like to see them." Apostrophe, apostrophe, they ascended to the room designated the east closet. The paintings here, mostly of smaller size, were in a better condition, owing to the fact that they were hung on an inner wall, and had hence been kept free from damp. Somerset inquired the names and histories of one or two. "I really don't quite know," apostrophe Mr. Stancy replied after some thought. "But Paula knows, I am sure. I don't study them much, I don't see the use of it." Apostrophe, apostrophe, she swung her sunshade, so that it fell open, and turned it up till it fell shut. "I have never been able to give much attention to ancestors," apostrophe she added, with her eyes on the parasol. "These are your ancestors?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked, for her position and tone were matters which perplexed him. In spite of the family likeness, and other details, he could scarcely believe this frank and communicative country maiden to be the modern representative of the Distancies. "Oh yes, they certainly are," apostrophe she said, laughing. "People say I am like them. I don't know if I am, well, yes, I know I am. I can see that, of course, any day. But they have gone from my family, and perhaps it is just as well that they should have gone. Dot dot dot, they are useless," apostrophe she added, with serene conclusiveness. "Ah, They have gone, have they? Apostrophe, yes. Castle and furniture went together. It was long ago, long before I was born. It doesn't seem to me as if the place ever belonged to a relative of mine. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Somerset corrected his smiling manner to one of solicitude. But you live here, Mr. Stancy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, a great deal now, though sometimes I go home to sleep. Apostrophe, apostrophe, this is home to you, and not home? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I live here with Paula, my friend. I have not been here long, neither has she. For the first 6 months after her father's death, she did not come here at all. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they walked on, gazing at the walls, till the young man said, I fear I may be making some mistake, but I am sure you will pardon my inquisitiveness this once. Who is Paula? Apostrophe, ah, you don't know. Of course you don't, local changes don't get talked of far away. She is the owner of this castle and estate. My father sold it, when he was quite a young man, years before I was born, and not long after his father's death. It was purchased by a man named Wilkins, a rich man who became blind soon after he had bought it, and never lived here, so it was left uncared for. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she went out upon the terrace, and without exactly knowing why, Somerset followed. Your friend, apostrophe, has only come here quite recently. She is away from home today. Dot dot dot, it was very sad, apostrophe, murmured the young girl thoughtfully. No sooner had Mr. Power bought it of the representatives of Mr. Wilkins almost immediately indeed than he died from a chill caught after a warm bath. On account of that she did not take possession for several months, and even now as he has only had a few rooms prepared as a temporary residence till she can think what to do. Poor thing, it is sad to be left alone. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Somerset heedfully remarked that he thought he recognized that name Power as one he had seen lately, somewhere or other. Perhaps you have been hearing of her father. Do you know what he was? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Somerset did not. She looked across the distant country, where undulations of dark green foliage formed a prospect extending for miles. And as she watched, and Somerset's eyes, led by hers, watched also, a white streak of steam, thin as a cotton thread, could be discerned plowing that green expanse. Her father made that, apostrophe, Mr. Stancy said, directing her finger towards the object. That what? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that railway. He was Mr. John Power, the great railway contractor. And it was through making the railway that he discovered this castle. The railway was diverted a little on its account. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a clash between ancient and modern. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, but he took an interest in the locality long before he purchased the estate. And he built the people a chapel on the bit of freehold he bought for them. He was a great nonconformist, a staunch Baptist up to the day of his death, a much stauncher one, apostrophe, she said significantly, than his daughter is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, I begin to spot her. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you have heard about the baptism? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I know something of it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, her conduct has given mortal offense to the scattered people of the denomination, that her father was at such pains to unite into a body. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Somerset could guess the remainder, and in thinking over the circumstances, did not state what he had seen. She added, as if disappointed at his want of curiosity, she would not submit to the rite when it came to the point. The water looked so cold, and dark and fearful, she said, that she could not do it to save her life. Apostrophe, apostrophe, surely she should have known her mind before as he had gone so far? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Somerset's words had a condemnatory form, but perhaps his actual feeling was that, if Miss Power had known her own mind, she would have not interested him half so much. Paula's own mind had nothing to do with it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Stancy, warming up to staunch partisanship in a moment. It was all undertaken by her from a mistaken sense of duty. It was her father's dying wish that she should make public profession of her, what do you call it, of the denomination she belonged to, as soon as she felt herself fit to do it. So when he was dead she tried and tried, and didn't get any more fit, and at last she screwed herself up to the pitch, and thought she must undergo the ceremony out of pure reverence for his memory. It was very short-sighted of her father to put her in such a position. Because she is now very sad, as she feels she can never try again after such a sermon as was delivered against her. Somerset presumed that Miss Power need not have heard this Noxer Bosuet of hers, if as he had chosen to go away. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.